Yeah, I keep using the reference, but Akron to Stanley, right?
Yep.
For Akron to Stanley, exactly. At least we didn't plan that, by the way.
The Fantasy Football Show. Hello, Patreons. Happy Wednesday, and welcome to your EFL non-Premier League special podcast.
That would be it, yeah. This is one that's been threatening to happen for about a month at least, I think. Because I think it was 9th of February, I want to say, where this salary cap, which we're going to talk about today in League 1 and League 2, was called off. I think it was the 9th of February. So this is a topic that's been, a few people have asked for and has been kind of in the works for a little while. Me and Suj never got around to doing any research on it, and I think we've done a bit of reading now, and we can tell you that there's not much to talk about.
Well, it's not happening as a start point, but I think the importance, the reason it's an important conversation, is comes back down to what they were trying to achieve. Now, we know that financial stability for football clubs is a big problem, and the lower down the leagues you go, the more difficult it is, how much they're losing money, etc., etc. So the whole point of the salary cap was to allow smaller clubs to behave more sustainably. And this was the way that they introduced it. But obviously it failed for a number of reasons to actually ever be go into practice, and was fought by the PFA and so on and so on, and never ended up becoming a reality. So, yeah, why did it fail? And if the salary cap wasn't the solution to the original problem, then what is an interesting discussion, and why it went down that road.
The reason the whole thing's obviously come about is twofold reasons. First being Bury. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants that situation again. Nobody wants a football club to die, et cetera, et cetera. And was then, obviously, everybody's concerns was pushed forward massively by the COVID outbreak, which we've now been living with for, it's near enough a year, isn't it? Mm. I was looking actually, so tomorrow is a year to the day since I last went to football.
Oh, wow.
Makes me want to fucking cry at that. But that there was obviously major concern about finances in lower leagues anyway. Bury, then COVID, was like panic. So the EFL wanted to introduce a salary cap in Leagues 1 and League 2. And this was voted through by the clubs. That's the first thing to say. This wasn't just an EFL decision to say, right, there's your salary cap, get on with it. The clubs in League 1 and League 2 passed it through by one vote. And here's the interesting bit. Do you know, Suj, who voted for and against?
Not in detail. I know Wickham voted against, did they? Were they for? I can't remember.
Well, Wickham are now in the Championship now, so I'm not. They probably would have had a vote in the first instance, but
it was August was when it was passed.
Correct.
Originally, back in before the season started. I don't know who voted for and who voted against, but I'm going to work off the simple assumption that the bigger the club, the more against they were.
You're not far off. So I don't know the full list of clubs, but I can tell you that 22 of the 24 League Two clubs voted in favour of the salary cap. So, I mean, that's nearly the whole of League Two. We're saying, yep, we want this, bring it in. So the majority of League One obviously didn't. And you're quite right. The bigger the club, the less the salary cap was viable, because obviously if you, a little bit like FFP.
Yep.
If you don't meet the criteria in terms of expenditure, you're going to incur fines, potentially points deductions, etc. When Sunderland were relegated in 2018, Suj, do you know what their annual wage turnover was? Or expenditure, I should say.
Were relegated from the Championship
to League One in 2018. Do you know what their wage bill was at the time of relegation?
£7 million a year.
£40 million a year. Lee Catamol was on £25,000 a week. Now, simple maths tells me that if I times that by 10 and times that by 5 and a little bit more again, that tells me that Lee Catamol was on about £1.3 million a year. League One clubs were being restricted to £2.5 million for everybody. So for a club like Sunderland, that obviously isn't going to work. What happens if suddenly I don't know, let's say, who's getting relegated this year? Sheffield United, they're a bad example because they're not on big wages. Let's say Watford,
yep,
who probably did have a few high earners, got relegated from the Premier League last year. Let's say they got relegated again this year. I don't get how a club like Watford would then be able to comply with it in the same way. Sunderland, even now, I think Sunderland's expenditure now is about 7 million a year. They've got it down drastically.
Okay.
You've still got to get it down to 2.5 million.
Yeah, I mean...
How can you compare Sunderland and Accrington Stanley?
No, that's the challenge, right? I think one of the reasons why this didn't come into play was not to level the playing field a little bit. There could be a conversation to say that because you've got this discrepancies like Accrington, Stanley and Sunderland, if everybody's got a similar wage bill to play with, it makes the league more competitive. That's not what's a discussion here anyway. It's more around the sustainability of the clubs. What I'm blown away by, James, is when we do these kind of pods and we want to research, my first go-to generally is YouTube. And I'll go to YouTube and I'll type in whatever the topic of discussion is. So I went to YouTube and I type in League One and League Two salary cap. Then I'm like, League Two, League One salary cap, nothing. So the volume of videos on YouTube, and I encourage anyone to go and have a look at this, is nothing. There is no videos from any mainstream press. So Sky Sports, BBC, et cetera, who usually have a discussion or a video about even the likes of TIFO or these alternative channels that do it. Nothing. You have probably 10 or 12 videos from fans of Sunderland, Portsmouth, various other clubs, right? A guy in his bedroom with a flag in the background talking about it, and that's it. How is it not so, like, just so not important that no one's created any content about it and none of the mainstream channels have published on YouTube any video content about it at all? You've got a few articles from written media. But again, if you search in Google, and I know Google search results depend on the person typing them in, but League One, League Two salary cap, you get secondary tier media or local newspapers talking about it before you get the mainstream. That irritated me a little bit.
I'm just wondering if I need to get a flag in the background.
When's your birthday? I'll get one on order.
Missed it, December, mate. I need to get a little cockerel flag in the background or
just the cock.
Well, this is something that I whinged about massively with Bury.
Yeah,
was the fact that it wasn't night and day, and the same with Wigan. In fact, even more so with Wigan. Why was Wigan not day and night the headline on the news when that football club was looking like it was going to cease to exist? Why was Bury being bundled in with transfer window news and stuff like that, like minute 10 of the hour? And it's just been the main headline. It should have been fucking national news, etc. And I think one of the reasons and reflection of that in terms of why you're finding particularly, say, on the platform of YouTube, why there's not enough about it is, what's the most important thing to YouTube content creators?
Views.
Clicks.
Views, so yeah.
Why would you have gone clicking for that unless you were specifically looking for that?
Yeah.
So as a YouTube content creator, why would you? You're probably questioning now why we're doing this podcast about this now. Well, it's different anyway.
For the love of the game.
Exactly. But we've done Bury. We've done the EFL financial stuff. We've done Wigan. We've done Sheffield Wednesday for the patrons, etc. That's why you won't find nothing about it. And the bottom line is, it's the same FA Cup third round every year. Why are Man United on the TV again? Well, unfortunately, like it or not, guys, Man United are going to get more viewers than anybody else.
Yeah.
And that's the reality. So when a broadcaster like BT or BBC has their choice of who to put on, irrespective of who Manchester United are playing, they want to put them on because that's going to get the most viewers. Reality, like it or not. That's how it is. And unfortunately, it'll be a little bit like this as well. Because League One, League Two, that's why our message has always been, we have to keep screaming about this in terms of the importance of our football pyramid. Because for us in this country, our pyramid is important. There are no Manchester Uniteds, etc., without the likes of the Berries, the Wigans, etc. That's how our leagues work. It doesn't work like that across Europe. And eventually, our football clubs like Manchester United now probably don't, unfortunately, need these clubs. They don't give a shit about the Macclesfields and the like, because they could just fuck off to their own Super League, couldn't they? God, this is a rabbit hole of a whole different podcast.
It is. It's just the thoughts around why it's not getting the coverage that it did. And I suppose because it didn't actually ever take off, that people have just put it as a back burner now. But 2.5 million and 1.5 million for League One and League Two, respectively, just doesn't seem like a lot of money to, now that we understand that, I mean, I don't know, who can we pick on? Maybe a Gareth Bale, for example, 20 million a year. This is 2.5 million for the entire squad for the entire season. Like if you've got 25 players, James, in your squad, that's 100 grand per year per player. 100 grand per year per player. It really goes into the context of how much less these players are earning than players at the top tier and what have you. And how hard it then is to fill your squad up. They did also talk about the additional add-ons and bonuses and what have you as well. The way that the contract and the way that the salaries were calculated was quite aggressive in the sense that it included pretty much everything other than relegation, promotion bonuses and what have you. But things like image rights have to be included, goal bonus, performance tax. Bonus. Exactly. Some certain agent fees might be included. If you do any media work for the club and you get paid for that as additional, you get included. So it encompassed everything other than kind of promotion bonuses, because that can be quite significant at that level. But it really did cover all of it. It wasn't like you could get around through, we'll bung in a clause here that if you do this, you get this, and that's not included in your basic salary or what have you.
One interesting thing not included, though, was wages of players 21 and under.
Yeah, so under 21s. I think it's similar in a way to how you don't have to, certain players like that don't have to be registered in your 25-man Premier League squad or what have you. I can get on board with that, where youth is different and it's a different kettle of fish. I mean, how many young 19-year-olds?
What if you're, I mean, Ipswich Town is a case I'm going to use because we've got a few patrons who support Ipswich. And I read one article where Ipswich took Troy Parrott from Tottenham on loan in January, who'd not been getting the minutes at Millwall, and they bought another young player whose name escapes me. But basically, they couldn't buy any over 21 players because it would have fucked them on the salary cap, which, when it was introduced in August, was effective immediate. So they ended up having to go and get a couple of young players. But to give you an example then, I don't agree with it shouldn't count for players under 21. Why are we trying to find loopholes in the system? They could go and find the best young talent from Porto, for example, who's 18 and pay him 10 grand a week. And you're saying that's not going to count? It's a bit weird, isn't it?
That's half a million a year.
He could go there and be the best player in League One. So I don't get why the under 21... things shouldn't count. I get that from the perspective, it's probably encouraging to continue to promote youth development, etc., in football. But let's be real about it. Most 20-year-olds, if they're going to be really, really good and not playing in League One, these days they've already been snapped up by someone else.
Yep.
So I'm not sure why the idea of wages under 21 was not included, because it's a loophole. I don't know why people enforce things and they want to create fucking loopholes.
Yeah.
But quite rightly, the things you were saying, like tax even having to be included and stuff, it did feel like there's nowhere to go here. I mean, so average salaries, you know what the average salaries are in the two leagues?
Such? I do not, James. Tell me.
Average salary, I think, as per 1920 in League Two, was between £1,300 and £1,500 a week. And in League One, it was between £1,700 and £2,500 per week. So, as you would expect, look, the higher level you pay out, the more you get paid. In the Championship, which they're the clubs that worry me the most, the people like Charlton who fall from the Championship into League One, average wages is £7,500 to £8,500 per week. And I think the highest earner in the Championship last season, I believe, was pushing with bonuses to £80,000 a week.
It's a big jump up, massive jump up. It's like 5x, right? You got 5x your salary per person, roughly, on average.
Imagine getting relegated to League One with that player on your salary. Now, there were certain things written into contracts. If contracts were pre-agreed before you were relegated, then that wouldn't be counted into the salary cap, because they would look at it and go, there's nothing you can do about that. But if you then wanted to renew X player's contract, you'd probably have to decrease his salary by about 500%. To get him to fall in line.
Yeah, it's crazy.
With everybody else.
It ultimately failed, though, despite it being the clubs that voted it through. Whether or not it wasn't obviously a unanimous decision, but it was the clubs that voted it through, with the PFA arguing that it's unlawful.
Do you agree with that?
It's no more unlawful than the salary cap in rugby, in Premier League rugby, for example. The Rugby Premier League salary cap pretty much follows all of the same principles in terms of what's included and what's not included in what makes up a player's salary and so on and so on. Now, I think that in rugby, in Premier League rugby, it's accepted by the clubs. And so they rule with consensus, and they don't need to force the rules in because all the clubs are in agreement about it unanimously, whereas they weren't here. Is it unlawful? Is it anyone's place to say what an owner of a football club can and can't pay his players? Is that unlawful? You can choose what you want to pay somebody, surely. I think that the problem is, if you're an owner of a football club, you decide you want to pay stupid salaries, and as a result of that, you go bust. You should personally be liable on the hook for that.
Yeah, what I don't get, I mean, just to go back probably on one point more about obviously what we said before about the clubs voting it through. Obviously, the majority of them votes came from League Two clubs. So it's probably a wider conversation. Why are League Two and League One being grouped together? I mean, it probably shouldn't be. I mean, League Two now has quite a big football club in Bolton Wanderers down there, for example, who themselves have fallen on really difficult financial times. Once they get fans back in the ground, then Bolton Wanderers have the power to be getting 12,000 to 15,000 a week, potentially, if they're doing quite well. And Reebok obviously holds 25,000. I don't think it's called the Reebok anymore, is it? We can't say that. We can on a Patreon pod. But then again, you're not going to compare them to like Forest Green. So the owner of Forest Green, who's done all this stuff about sustainability and all that kind of gift, that vegan burger, everything's vegan, isn't it? And the football club and all that. I think the stadium's made out of wood. I mean, they're a very kind of, I don't know, probably 22nd century football club. The owner of Forest Green really wanted the salary cap to be passed off. But on reflection, I look back at it and go, why do you actually need that? It's your club. You know what you can spend and not spend. Why do you need someone else to tell you what you can spend and what you can't spend? You know that you're the owner of probably the smallest football club in the football league. You can't spend what others can spend. And it does come back to the idea where clubs like Portsmouth and Sunderland and Ipswich were like, well, hang on a minute. You can't paint us with the same brush because our turnover is much higher. Why would you restrict? Is the same way as saying, in the Premier League now, we said, well, Manchester United can only spend the transfer money that West Bromwich Albion can spend. You can't compare the two clubs. It's not right. Manchester United are able to pay their players more, spend more on players. You could argue the rabbit hole of ownership, but their turnover is so much more vast.
Yeah,
right?
The likelihood of them going bust is smaller, despite the fact that they'll spend 10 times as much.
It's expenditure to turnover. And I think what we'll end up with, this will come back round and it probably will get reintroduced, but it won't be an official salary cap. It will be a little bit like what we get now FFP. With FFP. You can only spend 70% of your income on wages, yada, 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 something like that. The way that the EFL went about getting it introduced was, it looks to me like, because of Berry and COVID, they panicked where they felt like something had to get introduced immediately. But this wasn't really the right way of doing it.
No.
Because although it was voted through by the clubs, you've got a handful of clubs that shouldn't be at that level. Sunderland, I've been to Sunderland. It's one of the best stadiums in the country, to be honest, right? It's 45,000 worth. It shouldn't be at that level, right? If they can get that full, they'll get more in the ground in one game than Accrington Stanley will get in the ground for nearly the whole season. You can't compare the two and say Sunderland can only spend what Accrington can spend. That's not right. And that's why this has gone down the wrong route. And the big clubs at that level were like, well, this isn't right. And we do want, generally speaking, we do want a level playing field of football across the board. We want to, we don't ever, we talk about this with Super Leagues. We don't ever want to be in a position where a Sunderland, for example, can't get in the Champions yep. League. Or an Accrington Stanley can't get into the Championship or the Premier League or whatever. That's not what we're saying. But if clubs are making more money through revenue, then
they should be allowed to spend it.
It's just simple logic, isn't it? As a business, even just removing football for a moment.
The issue is when they're spending money that they can't afford and they have other additional costs. So I think that there are definitely better mechanisms in place to protect against that if for whatever reason a owner of a small football club. And I can understand with small football clubs, if you're a multi-millionaire and you've got the money to burn and you buy a very small football club and you want to put your own money in, I don't think that's necessarily a problem. You need to safeguard it. So if it goes wrong, what happens? So I think I like the two ideas of pegging it to your income in the way it's 75 or 80% salary. It has to be less than 75 or 80% of your income. But if for whatever reason you choose that you are going to top it up by X million more, you need to put X million more in a kind of escrow account or whatever, so that if your football club goes bust, we can use that money to clear down debt or whatever.
Isn't it amazing when you remove yourself from it for a moment and you think about clubs not being able to control their own business? That's the scary bit. This is part of what this is. This is the fear that we've got the next Steve Dale and Berry and someone's going to blow the money. I mean, Steve Dale was a very unique case with Berry. But...
And they did. It wasn't even like they busted millions at Berry. It was just not affordable.
No. To be honest, what happened with Berry is if it hadn't have died 18 months ago now, COVID would have certainly killed it.
Oh, 100%.
Certainty, unfortunately.
There was a lot more around the changing of ownership at £1 when football clubs are bought for £1 and the amount of debt that came with it and what have you. Which is another area. We're talking about salary caps here, right? The amount of debt that clubs are in and have to service is also a bigger, wider part of the problem. And that's disregarded in this at the end of the day. You've got a club that... could have a salary cap of 2.5 million in League One. That 2.5 is probably too much for the amount of revenue coming in. There might be one or two in there that are in that bracket where they're like, oh, well, is it right for them to go and borrow money so that they can pay up to 2.5 million and go to town and go crazy? It's not right. I think this one size fits all is a big part of the problem.
Yeah, I keep using the reference, but Accrington Stanley, right?
Yep.
For Accrington Stanley, exactly. At least we didn't plan that, by the way. Accrington Stanley, probably 2.5 million as a budget for them in League One for salary. Yeah. It's fucking great. That's like no problem. That's part of the point, isn't it? To reference back to the Lee Catamol example that would have blown Sunderland's budget in half. Now, of course, no one should be on that salary in League One. We completely get that. I think what this will certainly do is this will lead to more written into contracts about relegation. Because the Championship to League One now as a drop is beginning to look scarier than Premier League to Championship, actually. Don't get me wrong, the Championship, the Premier League is the elite jump, but the drop from Championship to League One is beginning to look quite scary for a lot of clubs. You're going to have to look at what's happened with Charlton, where it looks like their ownership hopefully is sorted now and they're going to be okay and stuff. And Charlton were a club who... this is what we've warned with Crystal Palace, isn't it? Like, sustainable in the Premier League, finishing between 9th and 12th every year. Oh, we want a different manager. Boom, you're gone. 5 years later, you're in League One and you're in financial difficulties, etc. That jump from the TV money from the Championship to League One, where you go from at least quite a sizable chunk, right, to nothing, basically, is pretty brutally harsh. You only have to look at the turnover and the salaries being spent in the Championship versus League One to know that that's scary now for any club that isn't budgeted for League One to fall into it. Now, some of the clubs who've been down there, like your Lutons, etc., are probably quite well budgeted to League One. Like Wickham mm-hmm. are going to go back down this year, having got to the Championship for the first time. They're not daft. They've not gone up and tried to do anything that's going to push them towards the Premier League. They know that they'll go back to League One, and with respect, that's their level in the first instance. We've got a club like Birmingham, who are struggling at the moment, and they've been on the edge of it for 10 years or so now, and eventually could go into League One possibly this year. You'd worry about them, I think. Sheffield Wednesday, we've obviously covered,
yeah.
Who, I mean, are probably going to be okay this year, but you'd worry about them if they went into League One. That drop now is
much, much bigger.
It's dirty. How do you go from a position where, and I know Sunderland was one of the highest salary cases in the Championship anyway, how can you possibly go from spending 40 million a year on wages to be immediately expected to be on 2.5 million? That's impossible.
Yeah, and fight to get back up. Yeah, it's very difficult.
But you're not. No. All you can do is asset strip the club and hope you don't get relegated to League Two.
Yeah.
That's actually going to be the reality for a lot of clubs if this came into pass. So, admittedly, it will do a lot of them. It probably would help save them because it would force them to asset strip is the only thing I would say about it. But again, to repeat, you can't be comparing Sunderland's to Accrington's and Forest Green's and stuff, which is why I think League Two and League One should be a separate entity. No one's voted this to go Championship, League One and League Two, have they?
No.
So I think it should be three different votes, Championship, League One, League Two.
Yeah.
And it's probably worthwhile those who have recently been in the league. So to be honest, the ones you want to speak to is like speak to Wickham next year and say, where was it different for you in the Championship? And the number one thing that probably will come around is salary. Yeah. Trying to compete with salaries going into the Championship was probably a more difficult challenge for them if they tried to chase anything. And I don't believe that they have. I haven't looked enough into Wickham's finances or anything, but that's what you need to do is learn experiences from each other. Surely, okay, you went up. What happened? Yeah, we found we couldn't do this. Okay, why not? What would give you a better chance in the future? What's to safeguard you when you come back down? You learn lessons and make sure we don't end up with Wigan's, Charlton's, Bury's, the extreme case.
Indeed. Yeah, there we go. There's a look at the League One and League Two salary cap as it was attempted to be rolled out. We'll be keeping an eye on what does eventually get rolled out by the EFL and what have you in the coming weeks, months and years, because they will eventually roll out something for sure. What do we have left for the patrons this week, James? We've got a quiz tomorrow. What's the topic, Governor?
Quiz is A to Z football stadiums.
Okay, global.
I haven't started it yet, so I can't tell you. But I'm thinking it's probably going to have to go global, yes.
Okay.
A to Z on football stadiums. We haven't done an A to Z for a while. Nice. So we'll
That'll be fun. That'll be tomorrow. And on Friday, again, don't forget the differential show for you as well as the regular podcast that are getting out. COTC tomorrow.
The Gareth Bale differential show on Friday. Thanks, Serge.
Nice. Yeah, right. Listen, you get your football club to buy Gareth Bale. Just work on that.
We can't because he won't fall into our salary cap. Our self-imposed restriction of top earner on 250 grand a week or whatever it is. Gareth Bale won't fit into it, so we probably can't buy him.
Patrons, thank you for your support. Stay safe wherever you are. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.